This is WIMRadio.com. Serving Southern New Jersey and the greater Philadelphia area. The inspirational and uplifting internet Christian radio station that everyone is talking about. Broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days a year. WIMRadio.com rocks. The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast are those of the authors and not necessarily reflect the beliefs of Prayer Ministries Incorporated or WIAMRadio.com.
Welcome to Parenting Tips to Go with Dr. Stacy. I'm Dr. Stacy Haynes, a counseling psychologist who specializes in working with children and families. Amber Siebert is our co-host today, and for those of you new to our show, we try to answer your everyday questions about raising kids. We like to use research, psychology, scripture, and good old parenting tips to help with the everyday concerns. Well, folks, today we are going to be talking all about teachers on the show today, and I'm so excited for this week in this show because we're back. We took a little bit of a break, so it's nice to be back live on the air with you. This is maybe your first time tuning in to us. We'd love for you to join us on Facebook. Go to ParentingTipsToGo.com. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at Dr. Stacy Haynes on Twitter. But most importantly, we've updated our website. It's gotten a fresh new look.
Looks good.
And Amber's agreeing, right? Nice new look to our website. If you haven't heard us before, you'd like to check out some old shows, we like to post our shows on our web radio page. So make sure that you check out our new website. It is absolutely easier to navigate. I know I said that the last time, but this time I really feel it's easier to navigate. And it's a great way to get in touch with us if you are interested in getting in touch with us or even have a question. You can definitely send that to us through our website. We'd love to hear from you. So before we start with our first guest today and some information on teachers, we like to share in the news story. And Amber and I like to make it a little light and fun and fluffy, a little lighthearted news, I should say, for a change versus watching your evening news sometimes. So looking at some of our stories about in the news.
Absolutely. So this comes from Good News Network, and it's about a teacher, a music teacher, who was kind of going through some health issues. And all of her former students, well, a bunch of her former students actually got together to kind of surprise her at her school. And it was so surprising to her that she actually kind of fell out. But this is in Chicago. So the class of 2005 and some of the classes of 2006 actually came together and kind of sung to her in the hallway and really surprised her and made her day. And this is one of those heart-touching stories that you kind of think back to one of those teachers who made a difference to you. And so when reading this, I was really, really touched by it. I think it's an awesome thing to have a teacher that kind of inspired somebody that 10 years later, they're willing to come back to high school and kind of sing to her. I thought that was awesome.
Well, and you know what, parents, teachers are doing great things every day. And so there was a teacher, and it's interesting. There was International Walk to School Day. First of all, I didn't know that existed. Maybe I've tweeted about it, but I didn't know that existed. And so Carl Schneider decided, he's an education teacher at Whitney Achievement Elementary School. And he's actually a group of about five teachers that are committed to personally walking home kids, 200 kids, not just one or two, 200 kids from their school each and every day. And the school staff realized that it's a challenge for some of these kids to get home without having a chaperone. And, you know, it's about 2 miles or a mile through rough neighborhoods. They're in Tennessee. And so, you know, I think about Amber growing up. I mean, we were kind of a walking school district as well. And so in second, third grade, we're all walking home from school. And most times, yeah, we were unchaperoned too. I mean, I think about, we had crossing guards in the community. We had other parents. But, you know, thinking about just how great these teachers got together and said, you know what, they've been doing this for about 3 years now. We want to make a difference. And it's just helping kids get home safely. And so I just think it's a beautiful thing as teachers to just share that commitment to their students, not just in the classroom, but also in the community. And so parents, if you're just joining us, we are talking today all about teachers. Later in the show, we will be hearing from Dr. Stuart Callinger, who is the author of A Lesson from Mrs. Fort. So we're excited Dr. Callender has been teaching for 31 years in the New York City public schools, or New York City public schools. So really excited to hear about the book and some lessons that we can learn from a former teacher. But before that, we'd like to talk about some facts about teachers.
Absolutely. So teachers spend about an average of 5 hours per day on instruction, both in the class and then also providing tutoring and extra academic support. So 5 hours, we think about all the other things they have to do in a day, but that this is their kind of their core, what they're doing throughout the day. So that's a lot.
That's like my 5 hours, though, of just like seeing clients. Mm-hmm. But to be, and I'm going to say this later, I mean, it's really a difference when you're working with clients one-on-one versus a classroom of 26 students sometimes for 5 hours mm-hmm. a day. So I commend your teachers on that. And teachers spend maybe about 45 minutes on planning, preparing, or even collaborating with colleagues. And I know I have some parents who are teachers that I work with and or work with their children. And I know that 45 minutes is like a small number for many of them. And the planning and preparation that goes into preparing for 5 hours of instruction.
Absolutely. It starts at home, I'm sure. I'm sure it's not, you know, in that prep period when you get to school. I'm sure it starts at home for most teachers. And also, teachers get about under 40 minutes a day for grading, documenting, and analyzing student work. And again, that seems like such a small number, but I guess that's an average. So I would say it would probably, for most teachers, fall above that as well, where they're grading and looking at how the students are doing.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things we look at, what do teachers need? And 97% of teachers said supportive leadership is the most important factor for them staying in a school. And so I think about, you know, principals, administrators, if you're listening to the show, you know, that's a huge number when 97% of our teachers say, you know, it really is about the leadership and their support that says whether or not I'll stay in the school another year. So I love that idea.
Absolutely. And I think when we think about certain districts, we can kind of see that we have better teachers staying longer in mm-hmm. schools based on what the principal looks like, based on what the instruction, you know, kind of expectations look like in the school. So I definitely think that number's a high number and something to look at. And teachers also have seen about a little over 50% increase in the number of their students who are living in poverty. Mm. And 49% of those have seen more students arriving at school hungry. That's a huge, huge number. So we're looking at that. Also, parents not having time in the morning, not just, you know, impoverished parents, but parents who also do, you know, have enough money to feed their kids and they don't have enough time in the morning. School starting earlier, all of those things. So there's a whole nother factor that goes into
that. Right? And Amber, I'm thinking about our In the News story. I mean, one of the main points of that was, they're walking students home because parents are probably working. I mean, this is mm-hmm. the reality. We think about the economy and what's happened and we're seeing this impact on resources within the school classroom. We're seeing this with students themselves, but absolutely. And I think about, you know, our teachers and say, what's the role of a teacher? Like when you think about it, it's much more than just getting up there and executing those lesson plans. And they oftentimes carry that role of being a surrogate parent. Right. It's funny, as I think about, the school nurse has called me two Mondays in a row, right? It's so cute, about a rash and about some nausea the first Monday. But you know, they take on that role when you miss something sometimes mm-hmm. to say, hey, just wanted to give you a heads up. You know, your son has a rash right here. And I'm like, yeah.
Thanks. It's always funny when it's so early in the morning, too, because you feel like, how did I miss that? Right. We're so in our role of getting things done in the morning, breakfast,
Absolutely.
Brush teeth, clothes on, that sometimes we really do miss it. And then it's at 9 o'clock in the morning when they've just gotten to school that you get that phone call.
And you cringe. If you're like me, you cringe when you look at them. You're like, oh, no, not the school. But again, that's the role of our teachers to really mm-hmm. look out and to help us as parents. And I welcome, even though I cringe, I'm like, oh man, because I have to stop what I'm doing. But I welcome that added support that our teachers also play. And they mm-hmm. can be a disciplinarian for our kids. I mean, mm-hmm. you think about that 5 hours of instruction. It's a lot going on that the teachers are right there with our students, making sure and helping our students to be successful, even from a behavioral perspective in school.
Absolutely. And also another piece of that is the role model piece of mm-hmm. that. I don't think, you know, there's a teacher out there that we would want not to fit the ideal role model for our children. And I think that's really one of the things that teachers go into teaching for, is to be that role model for students. And we've had some good experiences with my children, myself included, mm-hmm. where you do have that role model teacher. It's awesome.
And like you were saying with the other story, the music, you know, those mm-hmm. those students came back because they looked up to this music
Absolutely.
teacher. And again, it helped them in their career and what they were doing. But, you know, children that lack family foundation really benefit from a positive role model in school. And so that is one thing, you know, parents, we think about and we talk about. It is so important for our teachers to be that role model for our kids in today's, because we don't know what they're dealing with when they go home. And so that's one thing that we have to really, really think about today's in today's world, what our teachers' roles look like.
Absolutely. We'd love to welcome Dr. Stuart Callinger to our show. Dr. Callinger has spent 31 years teaching in New York City public schools and 6 additional years teaching remedial reading and writing to students attending the Community College of the City, University of New York. Now he spends his free time freelance writing in New York, and he actually wrote the book, A Lesson for Mrs. Fort.
Hi, Dr. Callinger. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me and enjoy being here.
Well, we are so excited. Tell our listeners a little bit about your book, A Lesson for Mrs. Fort.
Yes, it's basically about a teacher who feels that all the innovative, curriculum that are being used in New York City are okay. The curriculum, the innovative material is suitable for the students. And what she learns is that it's not, that the students themselves are coming from dysfunctional homes, and they really have to, the school system really has to go back to the basics of 30 or 40 years ago.
Wow, and you know, I'm flipping through the book and looking at some of these examples, even of like the handwriting and the samples, because thinking about it, and you have at the top their AIM, the Common Core Standards in English, and you're absolutely right to say some of our students aren't even at that starting point in order to be successful.
They're not. They don't even know the alphabet. They mm-hmm. can't read because they don't know the phonetics. They don't know that they don't know C-A-T is cat. I'm exaggerating when I say that, but they don't know the sounds. And if they have a new word, they come across a new word like hippopotamus, they can't pronounce it, and it's really bad news.
Absolutely. What do you think is the biggest factor that goes into bridging the gap between parents and teachers when it comes to this type of success?
I feel that the parents should not really listen that much to their children failing children say, it's the teacher's fault. I don't like the teacher. She's not a good teacher. Okay, listen to your student, listen to your children, but when you go up to school to meet the parents, please keep an open mind, because remember, there are two sides to it. There, you have your child's side, but you also have the teacher's side, and the teacher's side may be completely different from what your child is saying.
Absolutely. And you know, it's really huge, though, and I'm glad that you pointed that out, whether or not a student likes a teacher mm-hmm. does relate oftentimes to why they're failing that class.
Yes, exactly. A child may, for example, one of my students from years and years ago said that her English teacher, me, is mean. He's like 6 feet tall. I'm not. He screams at everyone. I don't. He's very heavy. I'm not. I'm on the thin side. And I'm scared to death of him. So the parents were so annoyed at me that they snuck up to school. They bypassed security. They came up and they knocked on my door while I was in class. And I opened the door and I went out into the hallway. And the father said to his daughter, "This is the mean, big, bad teacher." I was basically the same size as the father.
There you go. Look, and that's probably why the father's like, "Wait a minute, this isn't adding up." I love that. What do you think parents can do in the future to help with education at home? Because again, I understand, even as you're giving examples and saying, what parents understand about what's going on in school is oftentimes different because they are taking their kids' report on what's happening in school. But what can parents do?
Well, it's more than that. It's the fact that we, in inner city schools, for example, in New York City, the family doesn't exist mm-hmm. as it should. The traditional family of mommy and daddy at home and everyone having dinner at supper time does not exist. Usually one parent today is in prison. Mm-hmm. It could be the father in prison for any sort of crime. It could mm-hmm. be the mother in prison. How can mommy be in jail? Or the brother or sister or sibling is in prison, or there's no parent at home at all. Grandma and grandpa are taking
right.
care of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's that bad. It's the entire family structure has broken down.
Absolutely. And Dr. Kinlander, I really agree with that point, because I think, you know, even as we were talking earlier in the show and looking at how teachers can make a difference, not just in the classroom, but even in the lives of the children, because they do come to school with different stories nowadays. It's not like 40 or 50 years ago where everybody was intact and we did all eat dinner together, and the students looked the same in that perspective from a family dynamic. And so I love that. Where can our listeners find out more about your book?
They can go online. My book is on Kindle. It's called A Lesson for Miss Fort, and they can go to my website, fstewartcallinger.com. Stewart is spelled S-T-E-W-A-R-T.
Great. Thank you so much for being part of our show today.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you're just joining us, we were just speaking with Dr. Stewart Callinger in regard to his book, A Lesson for Miss Fort. And I love some of the points that he made, and especially that, you know, today's family structure really can look different, especially obviously in New York City, where he's teaching as a teacher for a very long time. I'm sure he saw things that look a lot different than what we're seeing in South Jersey even. But structure of family is changing everywhere, kind of. So this is something that I think teachers do have to take into account, that everyone's not going to be able to even be taught the same. Everyone's not going to be able to be disciplined the same, that things look very different at home, and we have to kind of get to know our students a little better from that sense.
And, you know, Amber, in that same vein and saying, so teachers, the show is really about you. So we recommend getting that book and listening to what Dr. Callinger was saying, even about relationship with our students. And I agree, there is a huge relation or correlation, we should say, between how students feel if the teacher likes them or not, and whether or not they're passing your class. And teachers, you might not feel that you're yelling or that your presence is 6'4", but when we stand in our students' shoes for a moment and we say, how do they, I guess, take in our relationship? How do they view our relationship with their teacher? And so 5 tips for becoming a better or having a better relationship with your students. And one of the things that we want to think about, and because relationship, believe it or not, all the education research supports this, relationship can minimize classroom disruptions. So those behavior problems you're having, we can see it healed with relationship, improve student engagement. So for those of you teachers who are struggling with getting your students to answer questions, to get involved, your relationship can change that, and essentially reduce stress within the classroom for everyone.
Absolutely. So one of the things is trying to establish that goodwill and really, again, the disruptions and all of that and getting the engagement. But the primary goal of a teacher is to try hard to have the students try hard and believe in the classes and believe in what you're teaching. You really do need that engagement piece in order to be a teacher.
So one of the things Dr. Kellinger said about getting to know your students, and that's like impossible to do if we don't get to know our students. And so thinking about their individual interests, of course, we always do this like the first week of school, you know, tell me about yourself, tell me about your family in the younger grades. But I think about that middle school and high school, how much do we do? Even as a college professor, I would actually take the first class and everybody in the class would have to tell me their name, their major, and what they want to be when they grow up. And so it'd be funny because students would chuckle because they're thinking, we're college age people telling what we want to be when we grow up. But again, I was starting that relationship and I would say to students, I want you, especially at the college when you're paying for it, I want you to get something that you need from this education experience, not just what I required to give you as your teacher. And so getting to know our students as individuals really helps us connect with them.
Absolutely. And I had an amazing English teacher in middle school, and I remember her, the 3 papers that we had to write for the class all had to be about ourselves. And she read each one, and even in her conversation with us, kind of incorporated the things that we put into the paper. So if we read wrote a paper about playing baseball because we were so good at baseball, she would actually talk with us about that then after. I felt like it was an extra piece for her to even get to know us without us having every single day to come in and talk about ourselves. But it was incorporating it into the class, and I felt like it was such a good idea for her.
Absolutely. And teachers, one of the things I liked that Dr. Collinger said, that his student felt that even though this was not true, he was not yelling, but protecting their self-esteem, especially with adolescents in the classroom. I think sometimes we think because they're teenagers, they can handle it. They can handle us being sarcastic. They can handle us calling them out on something in front of their peers. And sometimes they can't. And so being criticized by a teacher in front of their peers really does humiliate them. And so teachers, we're encouraging you to make discipline corrections quietly and quickly. I remember my residential days. This is something from, I've watched staff, and I was just sharing this story the other day with a family in treatment. I watched staff who tried to discipline a child in front of everyone else get attacked by that acting out kid. And so, you know, when we think about leading a class activity, and maybe there is something going on, maybe privately we have to pull the student aside or talk to them in the hallway. That usually will work 100% times better than embarrassing them in front of their peers.
Absolutely. Even thinking about us ourselves as adults, to think about, you know, being corrected by an employer or a supervisor in front of everyone. That's embarrassing. No one wants to see that. So definitely want to do that. Also, occasionally a student will be reluctant to accept disciplinary action. So stay, you know, just a few minutes after class maybe, or catch them on the way out the door, that type of thing. And helping them like change their seats or taking a attention slip can become a difficult process if a kid is not wanting to accept that. So you also have to make sure that you put that fairness doctrine, like, this is what I have to do for everyone. This is our expectation. Even that first day of class, setting that expectation. If this happens, this will be the consequence, so that they're not caught off guard by it at all.
Absolutely. And you know what, teachers, there's something that we can do, and a little goodwill goes a long way. And so when there's good days, how often do we compliment our students? How often do we say, you know what, it's really great to see all of you starting your homework without having to be told. I really appreciate how everyone's working so quietly today. Wow, the bell just rang, but I see that everyone's still in their seat. That's great. Just throwing out those minutes, those quick minute compliments, can make a big difference, because I hear it all the time. And like Dr. Collinger said, I hear from students all the time how we do good and they don't even acknowledge it. That's a huge, even with teachers, they'll say, well, my teacher doesn't recognize it. I'm a good student, but yet all they do is pay attention to the ones that aren't good students. And so, of course, we're reason teachers. We know that you have to pay attention to those students. But thinking about how we can incorporate that balance so that even our good students are getting the attention they need. And then the students, it works when we talk about praise and discipline. If I hear someone else getting praise for their good behavior, I'm going to want that attention. And so, again, we can use this as a discipline tool to just increase our praise in the classroom, and not singling it out. Oh, Johnny's doing a great job over there. But, again, looking at it as a whole, because that's what you want. You want your classroom as a whole to move forward.
Absolutely. And I know for teachers, sometimes when they have those good days, it might be easy to kind of just sit back and be like, wow, today is going to be an easy day, rather instead of, you know, trying to give that incentive. Wow, you guys are all doing great. They're just trying to catch up on their lesson plan or something like that. But also listening to students. If a teacher is open and is able to receive feedback from the class, it kind of develops that mutual respect between them. You know, what can I do differently? And I think you have to approach that very lightly, or students may take advantage of that to some extent, but to approach that very lightly and be very open to hearing their feedback and maybe asking questions about, you know, did you guys get that well? You know, was that a good way to explain it? Or do you need me to explain in a different way? Or maybe we can have the students help each other learn. I know that's one of the techniques that they were using in my son's class, because the teacher said that some of the students have better ideas on how to teach them math. So that's amazing for her to admit that too, to
Absolutely.
Me. Yeah, in a parent-teacher conference, amazing for her to be able to admit that they actually were learning better from Juliana than from me. So that's an amazing piece, I think.
Well, and you know what, parents, there's a great article, and we're going to post this on it's from PBS.org. We're going to post it on our Facebook and Twitter, the Parent-Teacher Partnership. And really it focuses on a positive parent-teacher relationship really does contribute to our child's success in school. And so make sure you visit our website or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll make sure that we post that out today so that you can take a look at that article. And with that, we'll head into our media moment.
Absolutely. So our media moment is actually something that I'm super excited about, and I've already downloaded this app onto my phone. So it's called the GradeStar Reward Education app. And this is available from iTunes, and it's also available from Google Play. So definitely want to check this out. It's a mobile app designed to motivate and reward academic achievement. So this isn't directed specifically to teachers, but I can only see this helping teachers get the homework done. It's a free and very easy to use app. It's a motivational platform bringing parents and students together to help them achieve educational success. The students earn rewards from working on classroom and family goals. So you can not just put only homework goals in there, but family goals as well. So it's three steps. They are challenged and create the Grade Star team by parents. The students earn points by completing the challenges and sending proof back to the parents. And the parents have to check it off. And then the students then spend the earned Grade Star on awesome real-world rewards. So everyone can track the progress and see the growth and encourage lasting success. In the real world, rewards actually include gift cards, tickets to events, and coupons and discounts on your favorite kind of goods and items. So I thought gift cards, absolutely great idea. That's a great motivator.
Absolutely. Great. And so now we'll move into our powerful, peaceful parenting moment. And this section of Parenting Tips to Go really focuses on providing powerful, peaceful parenting advice. I would love for every home that's filled with children be filled with peace. My book, Powerful, Peaceful Parenting, Guiding Children Changing Lives, has won several book awards. And parents, it uses Christian wisdom and evidence-based psychology to help raise children. My new Parenting Tips to Go devotional will be out this summer. I'm really excited about this venture. So we've already taken a look at the words power, peace, and parenting. Power, the ability to direct or influence the behavior of others. Peaceful, free from disturbance, quiet. And parenting is the rearing of a child or children, especially the care, love, and guidance given by a parent. Our scripture for reflection is Luke 6:40. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Let's talk today about teachers. I'm always amazed when I meet teachers. The amount of love, compassion, and patience needed to be in a classroom all day long with children is absolutely admirable. I hope today's show has helped each of us as parents take a moment and look at the role that teachers play in our children's lives. Teachers need support from home. Parents, make sure your teacher knows how much you care. Send them a note of thanks. I always send in a Christmas gift and an end-of-the-year gift just to let them know thanks for being my children's teacher this year. I also want them to know Christ's love and that as Christians, we can have a sincere appreciation for all that they do as they train our children. I encourage you today to have parenting that is effective and prevailing, that creates unity and friendship and guidance. Provide guidance, love, and care for your children. Well, we've had a great show today. I'd like to thank Dr. Callinger for being on the show today. You want to make sure that you grab a copy of A Lesson from Mrs. Fort, again, an experienced teacher of 31 years in the New York school districts. Make sure to follow us on our website, parentingtipsago.com. If you're interested in having us be part of your women's group, school, or church retreat, you can email us through our website. This is Dr. Stacey Haynes and Amber encouraging you to have a powerful, peaceful parenting experience for your child each and every day. Take care and God bless until next time.
Parenting Tips to Go with Dr. Stacey is a daily program providing parents with powerful, peaceful parenting advice. Visit us at www.parentingtipstogo.com.
I want to be just like you. Yeah.